This third Sunday of Advent is called Gaudete Sunday. The tone of the scripture readings are highlighted by the entrance antiphon that is presented in your missalettes for this Mass. And that antiphon would read, "Rejoice in the Lord, always. Again I say rejoice. Indeed, the Lord is near." To remind us that we are preparing for the joyful occasion of the birth of Jesus, the rose candle in the Advent wreath was lit in the gathering space. The theme of joy and encouragement urge us to make preparations required as we await the rebirth of Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. Holy Scripture reminds us of the coming of Jesus past, present, and future, and that is the reason for our rejoicing. The section of Isaiah read today comes from a turbulent period in the 6th century BC when the Jews were trying to reestablish themselves in their homeland after being freed from a generation in exile in Babylon. The prophet Isaiah encourages the people to rejoice, because their God, Yahweh, is their strong guide, provider, and protector. The prophet says of himself that God has anointed him with the Spirit and sent him to bring good news. The good news of healing the brokenhearted, of liberating prisoners, and the joy of the coming of God's salvation. He says, "I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul." In the responsorial psalm, known as the Magnificat, Mary rejoices because she has the privilege of giving birth to the promised Messiah. And she looks forward to God transforming the world through the Messiah. The proud will be brought low, the humble will be lifted up, the hungry will be fed. Mary rejoices for the great blessing given to her by exclaiming, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit finds joy in God, my Savior." St. Paul, in the second reading, was encouraging his fellow believers to have confidence and to prepare for the second coming of Jesus, which they thought was going to happen during their lifetime. Thessalonica in the time of Paul was anything but a paradise. It was ruled by the Romans, and in many of the towns there were slaves living, of course, and even those that were free were very poor, were illiterate, and unable to obtain their basic needs. The Thessalonians would have understood the meaning of suffering, and the Christians among them would have known persecution. Paul knew something about suffering also. He was beaten, shipwrecked, rejected by his own, and martyred. Yet he says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ." Today's gospel tells of a hopeful and a joyful message from John the Baptist. His message was that the long-awaited Messiah, Jesus, will be a sign of God's love and a gift of God as well. John, in his humility, emphasized he was not the Messiah and was not even worthy to become the slave of Jesus, the Messiah. He said he came to bear witness to the one coming after him, who would be the light of the world and who would remove the darkness of sin. So this third Sunday of Advent allows us to reflect upon those readings and also a deeper understanding of Paul's admonition, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks." There are several ways that we can look at the command to rejoice always. First, Christian faith should not make us walk around sad and long-faced, but rather enthusiastic and joyful. Joyful because of what God graces us with in this life and the promises in the next life. Second, rejoice always does not mean feel happy all the time. We deal with the death of loved ones, with serious illnesses, physical limitations, loneliness, family issues, financial problems, and the list can go on and on and on for each one of us. It seems that rejoicing is beyond our human abilities, even contrary to our human nature. Instead, however, rejoicing means find our source of joy in God and express our thanks. We can certainly always remind ourselves of God's love and of God's presence with us now and forever. But we can't always find joy in all of life's situations. Paul said, "Pray without ceasing." Prayer is communion and communication with God. In dialogue, we share a mutual presence with our God and share with him our joys and our sorrows. Our formal prayer comes at certain times and can be sporadic, but there's another type of prayer that is constant and can be always. It is the frame of mind by which we connect our thoughts and actions to the indwelling presence of God. In other words, being Christ for others, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Even if our deeds are small, we can do, as Saint Mother Teresa suggested, do small things with great love. Paul also said, "In all circumstances, give thanks." Gratitude should characterize all of Christian life. All we have, everything, is pure gift from God. Thanksgiving becomes a way of life, and that thanksgiving is expressed by how we live our lives. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will assist us in rejoicing, praying, and giving gratitude. Listen to what we have heard this afternoon from Isaiah, Mary, and John. Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Mary sings, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And the baptizer was sent from God to testify to the light, to make straight the way of the Lord. The Spirit was upon him. A question that we might ponder this third Sunday of Advent. What change would happen in your life if you would say with conviction, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me"? How does my mindset change when I am aware the Spirit of the Lord is upon me?